Yo, it's been a minute. I'm here to I've been writing a lot. I feel like that's how I always start these things. I've been writing a lot. Okay, maybe not writing a lot, but reflecting on my writing and getting ready to do like a burst of writing. I'm trying to get some stuff done before December 2022. And recently had a workshop for my novel, 25 pages of my novel. For those of y'all who don't know, I am in a novel class that I got into in May. And I'm so excited for, cause I got into this novel class. Quick story. I've been wanting to write this novel literally for 10 years. And even before that, I knew like in seventh grade that I wanted to write, I wanted to be a novelist. Right. And, you know, kind of got the inspiration from it, as I was going through some crazy shit. And then I was like trying to figure out how I was going to write it for a long time. And then I was like, damn, I got to heal from some of this before I write about it, blah, blah, blah. I've been on this whole journey. It's been 10 years. And, I got into this novel class that I read about randomly. Like I made a Facebook post and I was like, oh my God, I need support writing this novel. Like, you know, post links below. And somebody posted their link and I clicked on it and they required, it was a very tough application process. And I got in based on the first 50 pages of my novel that I had written based on a podcast that I had literally Googled that was like how to write a novel. So very much in this novel writing journey, I'm with like, it's a queer writing class. So we have about like 12 other queer folks from different walks of life. There's like old white queer men, and then there's like non-binary folks who are in tech, and like very, very different types of queer folks in this class. And one of the most useful and powerful things about this class is, how do you write about a nuanced experience for the mainstream audience, right? Do you explain the things that are specific to your identity, whether that's being queer or being black or being African or whatever, or do you just write it for that community specifically? And I'm finding a lot of joy in, you know, first of all, identifying how many different how many communities I represent, and being like, you know, I could write it for Kenyan people, but they might not get the queer part. Or I might write it for undocumented people, but they might not get the black part. So I'm having a lot of fun just sort of illuminating all these parts of my identity that I feel like are so important and so nuanced. And it's such an empowering thing to be working on. So I just workshopped my first 25 pages. And these are the first 25 pages of the novel. I could have chosen any set of words. I have about 200 pages written, so I could have chosen anything from that. And I chose the first 25 because I really wanted to set up my character. And I'm very proud of that first scene that I wrote, because it was, I listened to the podcast. And this is a little, I'll let y'all know what the podcast is called. Fiction Writing Made Easy by Savannah Gilbo. And brilliant podcast, because it's literally just instructional. It's not feelings. It's not reflections. It's not personal memoirs about writing. It's literally just instructional. And I love that because I've never studied writing. But one of the things that Savannah said that changed my life and changed my view of like narrative writing specifically is, every scene that you write needs to have a conflict. Your protagonist needs to be faced with a choice and needs to make a choice by the end. And we need to know whether or not that's a good choice or a bad choice, right? They don't have to win every time, but they need to be in a different place than they started with at the beginning. And it's interesting because now that I know that, when I read text or when I watch TV specifically, it comes up a lot. You know, I used to hate watching shows and being like, oh my God, why is there a monster every episode? Why is there a conflict every episode? Why does the character have to search within themselves every episode? And you realize that you can't just tell us what the character is like. You have to show us through their actions, right? This character might never have anticipated this problem, but if the problem did come up, which choice would they make? That's how we know what kind of character that they are. So that's really changed my life, and it's allowed me to sort of figure out, because at first I was like, this is such an overwhelming story to tell because I want to make commentaries about so many different things. But when you realize that every scene, which is about 4 or 5 pages, you need to display a problem and how your character would react to that problem, you realize you actually have a lot of opportunities to address all the different issues that would come up, and create all that nuance and show this character that's being formed by a set of circumstances and not necessarily by themselves willing them a certain way, right? Like sometimes we become people, not necessarily because we wanted to become those people, but because those are the choices that we were faced with. And that has really allowed me to just, you know, A, process for myself how I could have changed so much in a certain amount of time, but also understand how literature is formed by characters and also circumstances. So I'm writing this text, and the first couple pages explains, you know, sort of this undocumented setting that this character is going through, and only kind of shows it from the perspective of applying to college, right? And not all the other harsh undocumented realities that exist, right? And one of the questions that I asked my group was, what are some of the words you would use to describe this character? And a lot of the words that were coming up were like ambitious, well-loved, inventive, hopeful, resilient, you know, words that are, you know, the kind of words that you want to be described as yourself, you know, depending on the character you want to write. You know, characters can be whatever, but like, it's interesting that as the me, myself being, or the character being based on me, it was sort of like great to hear that that's how they thought, because in a weird way, it's hard to see how loved you are until you are able to see it from outside of yourself, right? So it starts off with this character being very loved, even though they are in this sort of hopeless situation. They're very hopeful, focused, devoted, happy, determined, tenacious, looking for joy, sort of, you know, resourceful, inventive, creative, curious, ambitious, cut some corners, kind of lazy, but overall is, you know, hopeful. And it's interesting because I was trying to see how much of the undocumented experience was tied to that. And one of the questions that my peers had that really kind of was interesting to me was, if this character's undocumented, why are they so, why did they give up when they first found out they were undocumented? And like, it, to be fair, like they didn't, because they still applied to a billion schools and still got in and still kind of escaped that situation. But they were like, it doesn't seem within that character's, you know, personality to give up if they're so tenacious. It doesn't seem like being undocumented would stop them, right? Which it doesn't. But I'm also like, are you misunderstanding how serious of that a thing it is to be undocumented, especially as a child who, like, it's a legal thing. You can't just go around trying solutions. Like, you could try a solution that can mess up your life. A, but B, it's interesting that you think that, like, the character is strong enough to just overcome it by, you know, sheer resilience, because you know, it's a resilient character. But then I also, it's interesting because what they don't see yet is that once this character then goes to this institution where they're expected to learn, that, you know, community of undocumented folks and that resilience they learned as an undocumented person, they were sort of sheltered from it in a way where it became empowering. It became like their shtick, where they were like, oh, you're an activist for this very particular cause that is enticing to people because they don't really know much about it, but they know enough to be like, I want to know more about it. And it became their tool for a resistance and for, you know, revolutionary conversation. It became their tool for feeling empowered. And part of that is, I mean, my favorite part about that is that I get to mention all of the undocumented people who came before me. I get to mention all the artists that I love as an undocumented person, undocumented artists who supported me in my journey. Like, for example, Julio Salgado, I don't know if y'all know who that is, but that's an undocumented artist out of, I want to say, the Bay in California. I went to a conference once when I was a freshman in college, and he was there selling posters of undocumented folks. This was around the time where a lot of the narrative was about, like, graduating from college as an undocumented person, right? And I remember him giving me a discount on my work, or on his work, because I was undocumented. I was getting, like, an undocumented discount. And that's somebody who, you know, I look up to, and who has so, you know, gained so much success in the last 10 years. And it's somebody that a lot of people don't, you know, outside of undocumented communities, a lot of people don't know, but in the undocumented community has been so influential, especially for the next generation of undocumented folks. And then there's the folks at, like, UBN, and, like, all the undocumented Black folks that I look up to, folks who work in policy, folks who work in politics. There's folks who are writers and folks who are artists. And it's such a beautiful and vibrant community of undocumented folks with so many different experiences. And unless you're in it, you don't really know about it. So in order to, and like, I realized that one of the main conflicts in my story is not being undocumented, right? Which is going to be interesting for the folks who read it, like, looking forward to that narrative about that being the issue. But I am really excited to sort of showcase all of the different all the different people who make up that community, who have supported me, and what it really means to be creating from that space, and to be doing it for ourselves, right? Because there's a lot of people who write about the undocumented experience. Like, I'll give you an example. One of my professors from college wrote a book about an undocumented woman and then recently got movie rights. Like, I don't know how much he's getting paid from this project, but this is a white ass man, right? How is this white ass man writing about being undocumented? That irks me in a lot of different ways. And it's like, if we're not here creating knowledge production of ourselves, someone is going to do it on our behalf, and their stories will not have nuance. The stories will not be joyful. They will not be about empowerment. They'll actually just be trauma porn for other folks. And I feel really empowered, especially when I see my peers doing well and I see my peers getting up there and being considered part of that mainstream narrative of what it means to be a writer and an artist. So I think this novel is also helping me reflect a lot about how, you know, this has been a blessing in a lot of ways for my artistry, and not to downplay the seriousness of the issue. And like, one of the things one of my peers was saying was like, can you give us the stakes in being undocumented? Like, what is that looming fear that you have? And like, they want to know about how terrifying it is, right? And it's like, I can give you that, and that's going to be relevant sometimes, and sometimes it's not going to be relevant, because there are also all these other things that are looming and scary for me as a queer person, as a femme person, as a Black person, as a student, and as a young person, that you're not always going to get how scary it is as an undocumented person. But these, like, you know, bite-sized chunks of scenes are going to allow me to explore that in maybe ways that are relevant when they're relevant, without having to make that like the overarching enemy of my protagonist. But yeah, just out here DK writing. I woke up to write, but here I am just making commentary about the writing. And like, you know, this is very anti show don't tell, because here I am talking about the writing but y'all not seeing these pages. So I'm hoping to come up with a structure for how to get this done in the next like 3-4 months. It's gonna start getting dark soon. I'm not gonna be seeing nobody, so I need to figure out how I'm gonna keep myself accountable for getting these pages out. Because we all know, like, the first draft, you gotta do that shit like 20 times for it to be good. And I really do think I have a chance of making this marketable, because it isn't for one particular audiences. It's for enough audiences that it becomes a universal story. And that's something that I really wanna do well. And then after this, who knows? Who knows what I'll write about next? There's so many other experiences I've had after this one that I really want to get to. And I hope that when I get there, y'all will still be on this journey with me. So thank you for listening. And I know I haven't been making a lot of content. A lot of that has to do with the fact that my students found my podcast and I had to be like, oh, that commentary is not for you. But I am excited to have some more things to talk about, because I have lived very vibrantly in the last year or so. So hopefully I'll be making more of these soon. Anyway, have a great day. Bye.